This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is incredible.
You know when you get the text about your STI results?
The three pie now.
Lads, I've been getting the spreadsheets ready.
He knows his stuff, this boy.
Or go down the Harry Potter route and send an owl.
Well, I think we should get on the Wembley headphones.
By the end of the tournament, there may be a kiss.
Edison invented the light bulb.
And naturally, we had to get Mike Dean to a chicken shop.
You're on the moon!
Hello and welcome to That Peter Crouch Podcast World Cup Edition with me, Peter Crouch, Chris Stark and Statman Dave with me as usual. You okay, boys? All good?
Yeah, very good. Dave, how are you?
Yeah, sensational. I just wanted to ask you lads a quick question before we get into the podcast. Obviously, after the football on Sunday, I hadn't had any dinner, went to the kebab shop, and the kebab guy nearly like lost his mind. He'd run out of food, ended up with onion bhajis, chips and chicken tikka. Not my usual order, but the question is, lads, what's your usual kebab order?
Bloody hell, way to kick it off.
Well, hold on a minute. So you've gone to the kebab shop, usually a Turkish restaurant. Mm. You've gone for onion bhajis and what?
Onion bhajis, chips and chicken tikka. This is actually, I think it's more of like an Indian kebab shop, my local one.
Yeah, I did. I was starting to think that, yeah. I've never been to an Indian kebab shop.
Pretty decent. You get combos that you don't expect, you know what I mean?
Okay.
No, I quite like that. You know, occasionally when you get a kebab and there's an option to have it in a naan, I quite like that.
Do you?
Yeah, a load of doner meat. Lamb mint sauce, and then the normal chili sauce, garlic sauce on a naan is actually pretty decent.
Yeah, you can get that wrong though.
Dave, why do you bring this up? Are you just interested to know what a kebab choice is, or is there a wider story here? Did something happen in there, or what? Were you recognised? What happened?
No. Was actually recognised as I was ordering my food, but not by the kebab guy because he kind of was he was telling us that he hadn't got anything. So it's sort of like, no, we've run out of naans. And we could see him with some naan in his hand, like making some naan for himself. Like, have you got any meats left? No, we've got no meats left. And we've got some onion bhajis. And the onion bhajis grows from that point to chips and chicken tikka. So it was just an odd situation, to be honest, lads. I thought the man would sort me out. But unfortunately, we were pretty late to the party after the football. We had another pint after the game. So kind of on us, really.
Has Wembley Arena changed you, Statman Dave? Have you suddenly become this megastar that you feel you can turn up in a kebab place and expect them to have whatever food you want? It sounds like you didn't even go into a kebab restaurant and still demanded it. And they've managed to pacify you with some bhajis.
No, it 100% changed my attitude on the world. I feel like I really need to have a word with myself after the World Cup, you know, talk about ego and failing the podcast, I think, is a big thing, which is, well, obviously we're going to get onto that later on through the show. You know, we're not ignoring the facts. Of a certain team, but yeah, no, it's getting bad, Chris, to be honest, mate.
But I think we should drill right down on that straight away, actually, Dave, because you've talked about getting too big for your boots, you know, storming into an Indian restaurant demanding kebab. You know, like, I think we should drill down on this because it's bringing you right back down to earth.
Yeah,
lots of angry punters on the social.
Yeah,
you know, after your tip of Serbia being. Fucking disastrous.
It's awful, isn't it? I think a lot of people that are tuning in for this podcast want to hear how we're going to deal with you, Dave.
I think it's fair. I think a punishment probably needs to come. I think it was a poor choice of team. I think I let myself down. And I did apologize on Twitter after you tweeted it, Crouchy, and hopefully the listeners understand that everyone makes mistakes in this game. And I will be back stronger. I think that's the...
No, I'm sorry. I'm not having that. Everyone does make mistakes in this game, right? You are right. But you said, as an outside chance, that Serbia would win the World Cup. We have confidently been telling everyone that that is the case. They finished dead bottom of the group, didn't they?
Yeah, but hold on a minute, right? I highlighted one of the most exciting teams of the tournament, right? Looking at the number of goals they scored and conceded, 13. Only Costa Rica were involved in more goals in the World Cup. You probably had two of the best games. I think Switzerland-Serbia was a banger. Serbia-Cameroon was an absolute banger of a game. The issue was the lack of Vlahovic and Mitrovic together. They only played 79 minutes together on the pitch. So I feel like I maybe overshot my mark and I've let myself down. But I think people, like you, I think you guys got involved. I got massively involved and I enjoyed it. It was something a bit different.
Going forward, they were exciting. There's no denying that. Defensively, it was shambolic, Dave.
Yeah.
I can't argue
You've
with
made
that.
Crouchy, our Crouchy, our poster boy, our financier, our people's prince, look like an utter twat. How do you respond?
I will be open and honest, and I think there is a punishment that's needed, and the punishment should fit the mistake. So, look, I'm all ears. I think the listeners should get involved, what the punishment should be. Wow. I saw a few people tweet me, listeners of the podcast, saying that they actually backed me financially. I'm not going to refund you, but I'm going to openly say I'm sorry.
Well, that's a great apology for all the listeners that... Yeah, no, I'm not going to reimburse you.
I think you're right. I think there does need to be a punishment of some sort, and we should be open to the ideas around that, unless there's something you can think of, Crouchy. Yeah.
No, I just think it's a learning curve. I think for Dave, obviously, like, stats are his game, right? And I think predictions are an entirely different thing. You know, you've got stats and you've got, you know, this is, you give everyone the knowledge, you know, to make their own decision rather than you making decisions. Because obviously, as we've seen here, you know, you can fall flat on your face. So if you just give everyone the knowledge to go and make their own decisions, I think from going forward, I think that might be the best bet.
And I also think I kind of I cashed in all my chips last World Cup with the Croatia call, who obviously got to the World Cup final as the dark horses for that tournament. I'm also 3-time YouTube champion in the Premier League predictions, but obviously, Crouchy, we us YouTubers know nothing. It's evident we know nothing. We may have the information, Crouchy, but we don't get it.
I think this is what you needed, Dave. As we know from the start of this podcast, you came flying in, telling us about your Indian restaurant demands.
Yeah,
that you demanded a kebab in an Indian. And I think this is just, you know, pulling you back down to earth after Crouchfest. This is, you know, I can make statements like, it's like Croatia. I can say they get to the final, then they get to the final. You need, you know, that the next World Cup, you need something like this to happen for you to just get back on an even keel again.
So welcome along, everyone. If you're new to this series of That Peter Crouch Podcast, we do this twice a week throughout the World Cup. Obviously, there's not loads and loads of fans out in Qatar. So we thought, when we were thinking what we could do for the podcast during the World Cup, we thought, well, we'll do it the same way as a lot of people are doing it, watching it at home or in your local, that kind of thing. And then we're just jumping on from our respective places. Dave's in the Stat Cave. Crouchy's coming to us live from his house. I'm in my garage. And we just jump on and talk about everything that's been going on in the World Cup. And I'll tell you what, it's been eventful. Crouchy, I've got to bring you to your tweet. Seems like a good place to start. You just tweeted the word "it's," and it kicked off, didn't it? That's all it took. It's your shortest tweet ever, surely.
Yeah, but it's one of those where, like, you can't say it. It's, you know, it's a bit knobby, isn't it? And everyone thinks it jinxes us, and everyone else hates it, and everyone wants us to lose. So it's just a little teaser. You can do whatever you like. I got quite a lot of "it's Rebecca Vardy" back. And obviously that wasn't anything to do with that. So I don't want anyone after me. but what I would say is England were unbelievable, weren't they? It was a joy to watch, playing some great stuff.
What I did wonder is the next game, if we do say go 2-3-0 up against France, am I just going to see a tweet from Crouchy just saying "coming"? Because out of context, with a lot of retweets, you're not going to have the word before or after, but you're going to look very excited.
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. Yeah, especially if you take that and you haven't seen the first one, you'd class it as "I'm incredibly excited." England winning.
So I hope it happens. I hope we get to see it for the next game.
No one wants to see that. I don't Oh, you mean the tweet? Sorry.
I mean the tweet. So where would you like to kick it off, boys? Do you want to talk about England first? Or we were talking about nicknames on the last pod. I think like you guys have had thousands of messages from people with some great nicknames that we can get into. Mm. Or do you want to talk about some of the other games?
Well, I have to say, I'd like to, Brazil were sensational, weren't they? Mm. And there was a huge issue that came up that arose from that match. Not just the fact that they were awesome and they passed it superbly well. They cut through people, you know, Neymar, Vinicius. It was so much joy that they brought. But there was the issue of dancing and, you know, are they rubbing their faces in it by scoring and dancing after games? And, you know, obviously I'm going to say I enjoyed it because I've been known to throw the odd shape after a goal or two. And I think it's, listen, you go back through some of the most enjoyable parts of World Cups. I think of Roger Miller, dancing in the corner flag. I think of Bebeto when he had the baby, the first time they did the baby celebration and the dancing. It's part of Brazilian culture. And I think it's not taking the piss. It's enjoying your football, which is, you know, when you see them coming off the bus, have you seen them coming in off the bus? You know, that is what a World Cup should be. They're all dancing before the game, and it's an enjoyment, and you can tell by the way they play, they enjoy their football. And there's plenty of different cultures and places where, you know, things are different to what we're used to. And certainly Brazil and sort of that samba effect is very different to what we're used to, but I think it's great for the World Cup, personally.
In fact, in that first half, the Brazilian players completed more dances than South Korea had shots on target.
That is a piss take.
Roy Keane was not massively thrilled by it, was he?
No, he wasn't thrilled by it at all. Yeah, but he wouldn't be, you know? And I think, you know, it's like, I don't know if you remember the Aylesbury Ducks. I don't know if you remember this. And if you do, they got in the cup. And they played against Wimbledon, I think it was, or Luton, wherever. It was Mick Harford. They were doing the duck celebration. Mick Harford walks through them while they're on their backs, pretending to be ducks or whatever it was, and just stands all over them. I just think that's exactly what Roy Keane would do in this situation.
If you're a player on the opposite team, I guess my first question to you, Crouchy, is, how are you viewing that sort of celebration? This is a massive game. It's tense. Does it border on shithousery?
Yeah, it does a little bit. Well, I remember, you know, I think I've talked about this before, you know, in the FA Cup, when West Ham, you know, beforehand we saw like Rio Coca and Alan Pardew, Anton Ferdinand, like they were doing a little jig before, and it sort of got us up for it because we didn't want to see them dancing around the cup, if you know what I mean, and we were losing at half time. And it was obviously spurred us on, really. It's definitely spurred Stevie on to get the two goals to eventually win the game. But you know, definitely wind you up 100%. And I remember like when I did the robot for against Jamaica, I remember I did it twice and then I missed the penalty. And then I'm not going to, you know, although I got my hat trick, that last one was, I was angry, I was frustrated. It was never a time to dance. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I think it borderlines when you go into sort of 4 or 5 and you're still dancing, it's like a little bit, it can border into like being disrespectful.
See, I think so. I think the thing was, no one, I think, begrudges a bit of a dance when you celebrate, or a bit of an organized duck routine, Phil Brown, whatever you want to go for. Like, it's cool. It's great to see. I think it's just the second... It was a two-parter of a celebration. Mm. And I think if we start seeing that more, where do you draw the line? So my question to you boys is, should there be a time limit for celebration? So a bit like a shot clock in basketball, should there be a timer that comes on and we just all agree, look, if you score, you can have 20 seconds to do what the fuck you like, right? But it's just 20 seconds.
Yeah, my issue, though, is if we do have a timer on it and it ends up going to VAR, that's going to take another 10 minutes. You've had the double celebration. Then has he gone over the time limit? We have a look at it, you know, back at Stockley Park. You know, how much, you know, we're already going into hundreds of 20-minute frigging time added on as it is. You know what I mean? We'll be there for hours.
Oh my God. Can you imagine we had to go to VAR to check that your robot celebration hasn't gone over the 20 seconds and they slow it right down, cut to the animation and your arms are mid-robot.
Yeah. Well, then I could say, but they were in a natural position. Like I'd finished the robot, but I was running back. It was more of a run. They were in a natural running position, not in the robot.
Well, that's what it would have to be. It would have to be that you've got 20 seconds or 25 seconds. I assume 20 seconds. But you've got 20 seconds to then be on the other side of the line. Because that would be a fun scramble. If you had 3-4 seconds left on the shot clock or the celebration clock. And these players are pelting to get across the halfway line to the point where they have to dive across it. Or it's booking. It's like Squid Game. You basically get shot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We've had so many good nicknames sent in. We talked about this on the last one, and we love doing this just because I love seeing Crouchy smile.
It does tickle me, like I say. I had someone got in touch actually, said they knew of Wayne Bruce, Man Bat.
Oh yeah, we're looking for one, aren't we?
Yeah, they found him, but they've lost contact with him.
Yeah, it would be great to find. That is one of the many missions that's going on throughout this podcast. I can't remember how this kicked off, Dave. Wasn't this one of the Australian players, wasn't it?
Yeah, Australian Jason Cummings, whose nickname is Cum Dingo.
That's it.
That kind of got people started. We've had a few good ones in. First one from Chris. I play football with a guy called Keith. He had an accident and lost his eye, so we started calling him Keth.
Oh, superb. That's a belter. That's an absolute belter. I've started calling Abby San Marino, by the way. Just dropped it into conversation the other day. She just completely ignored it.
Did you explain the context of it or not?
No, that's what I thought. I was going to do it whilst we were on here, if I can get her on.
Great. Oh, 100%, we've got to get her on. Should we try commit to that for the next podcast she sort of features?
Yeah, let's next pod then. When is that? When are we going to do that?
Let's not commit to that when we know. All right, how about this one from Luke? Says, got a friend called Michael Foreman who quickly became Michael Foreskin in school and is now just known as Skin.
Oh my God. You know the girl from Skunk and Nancy?
Oh yeah. I don't think it's the same.
It's not the same one.
Nah.
We've got one from Johnny here. There was a French lad in my football club called Bruno Frank, and the coaches decided to call him the backwards boxer. None of us got it because we were 9 years old, but looking back, it was genius.
Superb. That's very good. Obviously, we had Baxter Campbell two soups from the last episode. I was a big fan of that one. What about this one from Rollo? Zerdan Shaqiri was known at Bayern as the Kraft Würfel, which translates as the power cube.
Very, very inventive.
That's amazing. What a great nickname.
Kraft Würfel.
Kraft Würfel.
You ever use that at Stoke, Crouchy?
No, I didn't. I just should say, track back, you silly bastard, will you?
Do you want another nickname?
Yeah, I think I've just seen this one. It's good.
Is this the one from Connor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you do it.
I've heard this from an Irish friend of mine who told me about this. I don't know whether he knows him or not, but it's a hurling player who played for his local club team in Cork. His name's obviously Connor Carney. Con Carney. And his nickname's obviously Chili.
It's a classic. Yeah, any more of these, feel free to send them in. Just get us up in the DMs or you can email us. What's the email address again?
peter.crouch@acast.com.
Yeah, so just on the England game though, lads, like, incredible, really. I mean, I thought they played really, really well. And the most important thing to come out of it was the ITV curse was a load of nonsense.
Stats haven't really performed really in this podcast, in this sort of World Cup edition, have they? And this is another thing that people throw around that's just completely incorrect.
Well, sort of. You made a very valid point though, Dave, which was because the stats were weighted such that England results are so poor on ITV compared to BBC that actually, statistically, we would start seeing England have more victories on ITV now. So actually, maybe this was the sea change that you suggested with your stats, Dave. However, I would also say it's a massive cop-out from you, which was basically saying if they lose, ITV are a curse, and if they win, then I'm right as well.
On the basis of that being correct, we're going to get pumped by France, that means.
Do you reckon, Dave?
If we're going on those statistics, yeah, it would be the case. But also they've got a guy called Kylian Mbappe that's Liga top scorer, Champions League top scorer and World Cup top scorer that we've got to kind of deal with as well.
Yeah, but we will, because it's not like he's a secret, is it? Like, I do find some of the chat with him a bit odd because everyone is just focusing on him. Like, I'm more scared of Giroud, personally.
Do you know Giroud, like, getting, was it 52 France goals? And you think of the players that France have had, and to be the record goal scorer of all time is quite a feat.
But I think at the same time, he's kind of like, he's not that flashy. And I think that's why we kind of miss him in a sense. You know, the last World Cup, he was sensational at linking the play with Mbappe, but Mbappe got all the plaudits. And it kind of goes into that kind of thought. He's underrated, probably going into this tournament. But now, Crouchy, is he just rated?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's like Chris says there. Like, we're all focusing on Mbappe and how dangerous he is, myself included. You know, he's such a talent. But Giroud is like, you know, if we you know, worry about Mbappe too much, you know, Griezmann and Giroud, like, they've still got other threats. You know, they're still a very, very good team. But having said that, I am getting carried away now. I've jumped firmly on the bandwagon, and I've started believing. And obviously, I don't want to say those twatty words that get us in trouble every year, but something feels like it's brewing. And you know, I know we do it every year, and we always get too carried away. And everyone laughs at us at the end. But it does feel like there's a special group of players this time. And it feels like there's a great group. I think there's a good manager in charge. We have the ability to beat any team, I think. And I look at that France team and, yeah, it's good, but there's been better France teams. Even Brazil, I look at their brilliant side, but there's been better, you know, but we've gone out to better Brazil sides. And I think we've got a better England side. So I have started to believe a little bit.
Yeah, and it feels that there's that progression as well. I know with the USA game, it kind of reset that and everyone was after Southgate and you know, tactics were questioned. I think you do have to, I mean, or maybe you don't, feel free to challenge, but the calls that Southgate made in this game were right in terms of the starting lineup by the looks of it, or at least seemed to be vindicated. Or is that just a result thing? But yeah. I do find it a tad odd. Like, what does that guy need to do to kind of, for everyone to be fully bought in? It's still feel an element of kind of trepidation about him.
I agree. You know, there were so many people where I was, you know, I watched it, had a few beers again this time. And lots of people talking about, oh, Henderson shouldn't be starting. Lots of people said, where's Rashford? You know, how can Saka, he rested Saka. Rashford came in and did fantastically well, but he made it quite obvious that he wanted to play Saka. Henderson, I thought, you know, gave, and obviously he was justified with the goal, but I just think he gives us just a little bit more in these knockout games. I think he bosses it, and people miss the fact that you know, what he brings. And yeah, listen, you know, he may have given a few passes away or whatever, but I think he warrants his place.
I think as well with that, it allows Bellingham to play a little bit higher, especially in a defensive sense. And I thought that's something that you know, we've not really spoke about with Jude. You know, we speak about the attacking side, his ability to carry, to dribble through. But I thought the most impressive thing was how he pressurized the Senegalese midfield and defense. He caused Koulibaly all types of problems with his pressure higher at the pitch. You look at the stats of the World Cup, Bellingham for England's won the most tackles. He's recovered the ball the most, completed the most dribbles, and he's made three tackles in the final third, which is only beaten by Julia Hoylett in the competition. Crouch, we've seen pictures of Jude with Trent out on, you know, around in Doha. Henderson looks like a bit of a leader or, you know, someone for him to look up to on the pitch. Surely that move to Liverpool makes sense.
Oh, it makes sense, Dave. Yeah, it does make sense. But then I look at all the top teams around the world who need a midfielder like Jude Bellingham. You know, like Manchester United have needed it for so long, haven't they? Real Madrid, you know, have got an aging midfield, you know, 19-year-old, and like he can slot into there no problem. You know, literally every team, Liverpool, you know, Chelsea, everyone sort of needs a midfielder like that. And the thing to come out of this World Cup is that I think he can pick any top club in Europe to go to after this World Cup if he continues in this form.
Do you think he genuinely can choose a club?
Yeah, I do. Obviously, the financial package will obviously matter. I think the length of the contract, the manager in charge, you know, the size of the club and where they are, you know, what they're going to win. But Liverpool is a great option. I mean, it ticks a lot of the boxes.
God, Henderson was, dare I say it, quite parchy with him. He's really putting in the groundwork. If he does go there, Henderson, you know, deserves some sort of kickback because it's, I mean, at the point of the goal, honestly, when you see it in slow-mo, the intensity with which they look at each other, it was beautiful to see, wasn't it? But I mean, I thought they were going to kiss.
Yeah, I thought they would, but obviously they're not in a place to do that.
There was a moment. It was a moment at Crouchfest where you and Dave, it looked
it was the same,
really similar.
Right, it went really slow, and I held his face just like Bellingham.
Very, very close. But there's special times, you know, I mean, scoring in World Cups, Crouchfest. The moments only come around once or twice in your life.
Crouch, you're talking about the kind of forward line. Does Mbappe scare you as much as Haaland, maybe? If, let's say, if Norway were playing us in the quarterfinals, who would scare you more?
Mbappe scares me more because I worry about our potential centre-halves against them. But Haaland would be the same. The thing is with Haaland is, like, can you stop the supply line? The thing is with Mbappe, he can get the ball from deep and run at you and scare the life out of you, doesn't it, with his quick feet and his pace and his finishing. But yeah, I mean, you'd be just as scared with either, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. We've got a message from Carl, actually, who asks, who would you play at right back against Kylian Mbappe?
Yeah. Carl Walker, yeah, has to be, yeah. Just because he matches him with pace. I think it's been documented. You know, lots of people have come out and said it.
I went back and had a quick look at the Champions League games between City and PSG, and Walker in the last two seasons won 10 out of his 11 tackles versus PSG. So, Chris, he could be the right one.
Yeah. I mean, it's the kind of battle that everyone seems to be focusing on at the moment. And I think he can handle it, right? Is this what we're saying? Are we feeling confident about how that happens, Crouchy, your feelings?
No, I'm as confident as you can be. I think that's the issue is, you know, if Kyle Walker gets caught up the other end of the pitch at sometimes, and, you know, he's left versus John Stones or, you know, Harry Maguire, I think then you're in trouble. But I think as long as he is disciplined, I think he'll be able to handle him.
I think another good sign for England is Harry Kane getting a goal as well. And I think that's what excites me about how we progress through this tournament, is it feels like it's all building up. I think getting that goal out of the way, I heard something about Harry Kane, which was like, he's achieved so much and he's got golden boots that he won't necessarily care about the quantity of goals the same way he might have done in previous tournaments. He's confident in his role. He's confident in what he does. Maybe he gets held to account in a slightly different way to perhaps how he has done in the past. But getting that goal must have felt good, Crouchy.
Yeah, I think that was important. Like, there would have been something, you would have been carrying something into these kind of games. And I don't think for 1 minute he would have been snatching at chances. You know, he's not that type of player, but it's better that he gets a goal. You know, our front man getting a goal is obviously important. And it was a great goal as well, wasn't it? It was a great, fantastic move from Bellingham. You broke the midfield lines and Foden with the pass and what a finish.
Crouch, do you think there was any part of him that would be worried about that, considering that he has been creative? He's got 3 assists in a World Cup. You know, it's the joint most of any player. Would you have been worried if you were coming into the quarterfinals and you hadn't scored, but you knew you'd been a key component in terms of linking the play?
Yeah, like it, without doubt, like the person that Harry Kane is, he's still be in the back of his mind. Like he'd tell you otherwise, but he'd still be thinking about, oh, I haven't scored yet. You know, definitely be wrangling with him. He expects to score in every game, so to not score in 3 is he'd be angry. But yeah, like you say, I mean, some of his delivery, you know, when he goes out wide and he, you know, I think there's one cross on his left foot, it's like, like whisker away, just whipped it in. He's so creative, and he gives us the license, you know, with the way he drops in for our, you know, our forwards and, you know, wingers to get higher up the pitch and make those runs inside.
Do you know what we haven't had to experience too much of yet? We should talk about it. It could go that way. Penalties, how they will be different. And, I mean, we've seen some unbelievably shit penalties this tournament. I find it humiliating, you know, Lewandowski.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, like they spend the whole 90 minutes saying what an amazing player, and fair enough, right? But then it comes down to, you know, he hasn't scored at a World Cup, gets his goal, has an opportunity from the spot. Wasn't that just one of the most fucking bad things you've ever seen? Like, and then he was lucky he got that retaken.
But then Japan as well. Some of Japan's penalties were like they couldn't get it. It's like they couldn't get it off the ground.
It's the first time that a keeper's saved 3 out of 4 penalties at a shootout with Livakovic from Croatia. And I think that like, I don't know what you guys think about this, but I absolutely hate their stopping the run up. That really triggers me.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it as well.
Yeah. I think there needs to be speed guns. If we're going to have VAR and everything, we've got to do that. I think if you break 1 mile per hour, if you're less than that, you can't fucking take it. Do you know what I mean? It goes to a goal kick. I'm really... Because I think, especially in the game now, where you're going to have cameras spotting encroachment, cameras spotting keepers going off the line... I think it's too much to ask everyone to hold in a position whilst a striker pisses around with a run. If you're going to have these rules around encroachment, keepers off their lines, and measure it to such a fine detail, I think strikers have got to have some accountability in the run-up as well.
Yeah, I mean, like those, like seriously, how long can you actually take to run up? Like, it's ridiculous, isn't it? And like, when they miss, even if I'm half cheering them on to score, I'm like, you're like, good. silly bastard. Just do a normal run up.
I just found it with Lewandowski. I found it so, because you think, like, what a player, right? What a standing in the game. And it was just a bit pitiful, really.
But similar with the Neymar penalty, I thought that Neymar penalty was rubbish. But the South Korean keeper can't do anything. He's already planted his back foot. He's gone to go one way, and Neymar's just waited. I just think,
what is that? Is that just because if you're a big player and you know the world's watching, you're expected to do something a little bit out of the ordinary with it, rather than just go full missionary on it? Just spam it.
I know what you mean. It's all reverse cowgirl now, isn't it? There's no missionary anymore.
It is. Just get it home.
Get it home.
It doesn't need to be pretty. I just like, they're massive names, you know, and I just don't like to see it.
Well, maybe anyway. It is the foreplay, you know, the run-up is the foreplay, you know what I mean? And the finish is the crescendo, maybe. I don't know.
That's where I think John Terry just always got it right. You know, there was never any mucking around.
I don't know. I think what we're trying to say here is a place for missionary.
I definitely would prefer to see the England guys go full missionary than anything. If we do end up in that situation, one after the other, I want to see them step up I don't want it to last bang. More than a few seconds. And bang. I just want it exact bang, 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 bang. Semi-finals, here we come.
Okay. Dave, you got any stats for us, mate?
Yeah, got a few. England top scorers of the World Cup with 12 goals so far, more than any other side. They've got the most clean sheets with three as well. If you look at the centre-back pairing between Harry Maguire and John Stones, they've just conceded one goal. That's a non-penalty goal so far in the tournament. So those statistics are very positive for England. Their expected goals are very good. Their expected goals against are very good. So generally, statistically, England are on the up.
Good stats from you there, Dave. In fact, Dave, can we set you some homework? So for the next podcast, why don't you dig down on the penalties, right? And come back to us with what you think strategically, although, you know, you don't carry too much weight in the stats world currently in this World Cup. But we'll give you another go. But strategically, what is England's best route with penalties? Break it down with stats. What is our best route to success? Do you think you can give that to us?
Yeah, also, Dave, I was just thinking if you could perhaps look at the stats of the penalties that have been scored so far in this World Cup and just see, is missionary a better way of taking them as regards to anything else?
Hmm. I think that it can be done. It can definitely be done. And look, I want to redeem myself. Again, I would like to finish off the podcast by apologising. But yeah, I think this is something we could look at. You know, overall strategy for penalties, completely randomised, is the best strategy. Shooting with your stronger foot away from the goalkeeper. But we can go into it deeper. Hugo Lloris this season, in terms of post-shot expected goals, the metric the goalkeepers don't like because it highlights them, not anyone else, he's not doing too well in the Premier League. So I think there's something here.
Yeah. Also, dig down on substitutions for penalties as well. We'll discuss that. Could this be where Aaron Ramsdale comes into play? If he's there fucking dancing around on
like
the line,
this.
Just, do you know what I mean? Just giving it, like, does that make a difference, do we think? All to be discussed next podcast.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Really am, lads. We'll be back just before the France game, so don't worry. We'll have plenty of analysis and feedback for you before that game. Chumbawamba, back stronger.
Yeah, Chumbawamba, everyone.
Chumbawamba.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.
This episode is brought to you by aloadofpricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. Three different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned round to my wife and said, "What can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us." Then I told her, "Let's go to aloadofpricks.net."
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to loadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, loadofpricks.net.